Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nedarim Daf Nun Hey. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, one of our regular listeners' mother, Harry Katowitz's mother, Helen Katowitz, Le'ashalom Chaya Bas David. All the Nishamas we learned for 7 Aliyah from our learning. So we begin at the very top of Nun Hey Amun Aleph with the new Mishnah. Hanodim and Dagon. If a person makes a neder, that he will not have Dagon. So what's included in Dagon? So the Ran tells us that Kivan Demidgon, anything that is piled up together, Sha'osi Menu Dagon, and you make it into Dagon, so the Tanakama holds, which is Rav Meir, Sir Leil Rav Meir, the Dagon Mikri. That includes anything that is piled up, not just the five grains. So I know Debina Dagon is also Bepul HaMitzri Yavesh, is not allowed to also have Pul HaMitzri that is dried up. As we said previously, that is something that is Midgon. It is something that is gathered together and piled up. And therefore, the opinion, Divri Rav Meir, is that that is included in the neder. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim, no. Eino also ele b'chamesha samin. The Chachamim's opinion is that this only includes the chita, sara, kusun, shipun, and shibola, shual, the five classical grains, wheat, rye, barley, oats, and spelt, and eino also ele b'chamesha samin. Only these five, and not something like, for example, pula mitzri, or other things that are piled up. Now, Rav Meir, the reasoning of Rav Meir is, hanodim in a tvua. The person says, I ask myself from tvua. He says, I agree with the Chachamim that only if you use the terminology of Tfua does that mean that only the five grains. But once you use the terminology of Dagon, that includes other things as well. Also, Bakol, all of the things that are piled up, that are piled up in a silo, in a granary, they're Midgon. So therefore, all of these things are included in this Isser. As Tosfos points out as well, Kol midi de idgan shema midin oso bekri. Anything that you put up in a pile of bekri, nikra dagon. That is called dagon. And Rosh says the same thing. Both in the top Tosfos, top Rosh, they agree. The dagon kol mine de midgan mashma. The word dagon, according to Rameya, implies anything sheosim imenu kri that you make into a pile. And therefore, hanoder min hadagon is also bechol mine kitnios sheosim imenu kri. It's any type of beans that you make into a kri. And this would include the pul hamitzvi, that is Yavesh, that is dried up, that you also make it into piles. And that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Umutter, however, Beperos Ha'ilan Ubiyarek, if he says, I ask myself from Dagon, he is still permitted to have vegetable Yerek, and as well as the Peros Ha'ilan, as well as the Yerek, we had said this would include various types of vegetables that are known as Peros, such as we learned yesterday, Shir, things like gourds. Okay. Morris starts off and says, Lememra, the Dagon, Kol Midgan Mashma, as we just pointed out from both the Ran, the Rosh, and Tosos, according to Rav Meir, the word Dagon implies anything that is piled up. Now, this is a problem according to Rav Yosef. Moshe Rav Yosef, we have a famous pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. I read you the entire pasuk. Our Gemara only quotes parts of the pasuk, so I'll read the whole pasuk for us. The Chifrotz Hadavar, Hirbu Bnei Yisrael Reishes Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar Udvash. This is the background for this. You can see in the Ran, in the Ramasal, Uchifrotz Hadavar, Mikruhu B'divrei Yomim, the B'yemei Chizkiyah, when the great King Chizkiyah saw that law used the reason, Lahafrish Trumas and Maisos, he saw the people, the common population, were not so zealous in their performance of taking off Trumas and Maisos. So Omar Chizkiyah V'tikain, so Chizkiyah got up and he made the following takana, that you can't just do Trumas and Maisos in your home. Shiaviyu Osam Beis Hashem, you have to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash and we'll distribute them over there to the Kohanim and the Leviim. And it says, this Pasuk, Uksiv, Kifrotz Hadavar, and we'll continue reading the pasuk. If it says v'chol tvuas sodeh u'maiser hakol l'rov heviu. Now, our Gemara says that Rav Yosef uses this as an argument against Rav Meir. Rav Yosef says this pasuk. I just read you the entire pasuk. Our Gemara only has parts of it, so we'll just skip ahead. The e amitz dagon called midgan mashma. And if you're telling me that the word dagon, according to Rav Meir, means anything that is piled up, so then I don't understand the pasuk. Now the gear that we have is Kifrotz Hadavar Hirbu, and the Rosh points out that the Rahi isn't from this beginning of the Pasuk. The Rosh says, in the Ramasu Mayu Kifrotz Hadavar, Reisha Dekra Nokat, he quotes here the beginning of the Pasuk, Umeseife Kopara, but it's the Kasha on Rav Meir comes from the end of the Pasuk. By Reisha's Dogon Dirsil Bekra, that which it says in the Pasuk, Reisha's Dogon, Hainu Mashinikwa Dogon Belosh Ben Yavim, that's what a typical person says is Dogon. Now, if you're telling me the E called the Midgan Mashma, if you're telling me that it means anything that a person goes and piles up, so then why does it then say afterwards, my high called Tuas Asada, the Sib Save the Kra, Umabal Hosef? So then you've already told me called Tuas Asada with the words Midgan. So when the Pasuk says Reish is Dagon, that would include Kol tuas asodeh. Why does the pasuk tell me v'chol tuas asodeh? That's the way the Rosh understands this. The Ran actually has a different girsa. The Ran actually has the girsa which says my v'chol tuas asodeh. He brings the Gemara as directly pointed to the end of the pasuk, which the Rosh also agrees. But the Ran had the girsa. Why are you telling me then v'chol tuas asodeh? Kol tuas asodeh. If in fact it doesn't mean anything new, because Midgan, when we said Reish's dog, and that included Kol Midgan. So that's Rav Yossi's question on Rav Meir. So Abaye answers for Rav Meir. Abaye tells his Rebbe Rav Yossi, Lasuye, the words, the Kol Tvuas Soder, are coming to include Lasuye, Peros Ha'ilon V'Yerek. In that pasuk, it means that they also brought the Peros Ha'ilon and Yerek. So that isn't stuff that is piled up. So that certainly would be included in the words Reish's Dagon, and therefore the Klal Yisrael brought this as well to fulfill what Chizkiyah had said, and therefore it's not a kasha. We quote the Mishnah, it said, we said Rameya holds that if you say the word Tvua, so then that only means the five grains, the Chita, Sora, Kusmin, Shippon, and Shibolas Shual. So the Gemara asks, Amar of Yochanan, Hakol Modim Benodim in Tvua, everybody agrees that if you use the word Tvua, Shino also Elim Chabeshus Aminim. And the Bryce says the same thing. Tani Nami Yochi, Shavim Benodim in Atzvua. Bryce says that the opinion of Rabbeinu, and certainly the opinion of the Chacham, is that this just means Tua. The Chacham hold that if you say Dagon, it includes just the Chameshus Aminim. Certainly, if you use the word Tua, it includes the Chameshus Aminim. So the Gemara asks Pshita, so why in the world do you need the Chachamim to tell me? If by Dagon they say it means only the Chameshus Aminim, so certainly if you say Tua, it only means the Chameshus Aminim. So he says, no. I might not have realized that. I might have said that the Chachamim hold that Tua means something else because of the Targum. The Targum's translation of Tua is a much more all-encompassing term called Alalta. Mal de Temor, I might have said Tua kol mile mashma. I might have said, somewhat paradoxically, that while the Chacham hold that Dagon only means the Chameshus Aminim, if you use the word Tua, not like Rav Meir, they would hold that the word Tua is much more all-encompassing because, as I pointed out, and you can see this in the Ran, in Dibra Maskul Mal de Tema, and he says, mid the Targuminon, from the Targum Unkel is telling us, Alalta, that's how you translate Tua, so Alalta mashma kol mile. And the word alauta means anything. It includes anything that you make a profit from. So kamash balon. So therefore, the chiddush is over here. The lo mashma kol mile. So yes, you have to tell me that even the chachamim hold that if you make a neder against tua, it only means the five grains, and it doesn't mean everything like you might have thought from targum that it means alauta. That it means many, many other things. So therefore, kamash balon de lo mashma kol mile. That's the chiddush over here that the Braisa as well as Rav Yochanan are telling us. Rav Yosef doesn't like this teretz either. Most of Rav Yosef says, our pasuk that we brought down from Divrei Yamim, the Chavrot Sadova, here Bubnei Yisrael v'chulei, this pasuk, so it says that, again, the pasuk says, v'chol tuas soda means much more than just dogon, because dogon was already included, the five grains were already included. So again, Amar Rava, Rava tells us, no, there's a difference between tfua by itself, l'chud, and when it says, l'chol tuas soda l'chud, they mean different things. In the context of tfua, when you just have tfua alone, it just means the five grains. But if you have the word tuas soda, then it comes to include all things that are growing in the field, and not just tfua itself. Amai Sashoya, Bar, the son of Mar Shmuel, Bar Mar Shmuel, the son of Shmuel, Pocket, he put together the final declaration before he died that he wants his money to be distributed in a certain way. He commanded, he was Pocket, the Litnun Tlesar Alfe Zuze, he wanted to support Rava. Rava was the Gadol Hador after the generation of Shmuel passed away, the generation of Rabban and Yosef passed away. So then Rava and Abaye were Gadol Hador, and therefore he wanted to support him, and he gave him Tlesar Alfe Zuze, 13,000 Zuz. He wanted to give L'Rava, but he specified that it should come from a certain part of his estate, min alalta de Nahar Panya. It should come from the alalta, which we'll define now again, that are in a place called Nahar Panya. So Rava didn't know how to go and collect this money. What's included in this 13,000 zuz from alalta de Nahar Panya? What can he go and collect from to make the 13,000? So Shalcha Rava l'kamei de Rav Yosef. So Rava sent to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was his rabbi, and he sent to him, and he said, Alalta hechi mikraya. What is included in the word alalta? So Rav Yosef tells him, I'm Rav Yosef. Now, the Gibson that we have is Mastisim, but it's Mastisim. It's the Brisa that we just said. Vishavin, Binodu, Binatua. The Brisa we just brought down said that the Chachamim agree as well with Rav Meir. Even Rav Meir is Moda, that it means, Sheinu Osir Elam Chameshis Aminim, that Alalta there, if you use the term Tfuah, which is translated by the Targum as Alalta, so that it only includes the five grains. So therefore, if by a Neder, it only includes the five grains, so to over here, in his Tzavah, Bar Mar Shmuel, when he said, I'm giving 13,000 zud to Rabba from Alal to the Narpanya, you can only go and collect that 13,000 zud from the five grains, the Chameshis Minim of Bar Mar Shmuel that he owned in Nahar Panya. That's what Rav Yosef told him. Abai is surprised at this. Only Abai says, Me Dami, really? How can you say that? After all, Tvua lo mashm elo mechameshis aminim. When you use the term Tvua, which granted is translated by the Targum as Alalta, but if you use the word Tvua, so then Rav Meir, and certainly the Chachamim Mamoda, that it only means chameshis aminim. When you say the word Tvua, however, if you use the terminology alalta, that's called mile mashma. That includes many, many other things as well. As the Ran says, Diva Mascha alalta, kol mile mashma, da alalta loshon bia vahachnosa vishevach. The word alalta means things that you bring in and you take out and you profit from. And the Rosh as well says, Diva Mascha da alalta, kol mile mashma, shame da alalta mashma, kol dover mu'ula. It implies anything that is growing up and is praiseworthy. And therefore, Alalta is much more encompassing than just the five grains. So Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, how can you say that it only means the five grains? No, so they sent this back to Rava. Mustama, Rav Yosef agreed with Abaye, and they sent back to Rava, Ahadru l'kamei de Rava, that you can go and collect from much more than just the five grains. You can collect from all the things that are included in Alalta. So Rava says back to them, Amar, hallo, call me Bartley. That never was my question. The Alalta, call me Limashu. Of course I know that the word Alalta means many, many things. Anything that you make a profit from, essentially. So, Hadahudi Bartley, this was my question that I was really asking you. Does it also include not only things that grow from the ground, but does it include Schar Batim or Schar Svinos? Shmuel's son had said, you can collect from Alalta. Did he mean not only the growths from the ground, Komili, but did it also include even the properties that I own, the rents that I got from my renting out my houses and renting out my boats? My, what's the halacha in regards to those items as well? Are they included in Alalta? Do we say, since they go down in value, there's a deterioration in these types of properties over time. The house wears out, the boats get somewhat ruined, so therefore that's not called Alalta. Alalta implies something that's always going up and not deteriorating. But do we say that that's what Alalta means and wouldn't include the Schar Batim, Schar Svinos? Or do we say, oh, Dilma, maybe not. Kivan Delo Yediya Pichosayu. It's not recognizable. So the house depreciates. There's depreciation, but it's not a depreciation that's recognizable. The difference between your house yesterday and the house today, there may be a minute deterioration, but it's not something that's recognizable. It's not something that's appreciable. And therefore, it is called Alalta He. That is what Rava said was my question. Now, obviously, this was a much more detailed, specific question than it implied when he says, what's the din of Alalta? Alalta Hechi Mikraya, which is what Rav sent to Rav Yosef. So they told Rav Yosef what Rav had said, and Rav wanted to come to Rav Yosef, and he got upset. Since he really knew so much about Alalta, why is he asking me the question? In other words, why is he bothering me with such a question when he seems to know the answer himself? And Ikpid Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is a little bit upset. Now, in a moment, we'll say what is the bottom line over here, at least according to the Ran. But right now, we have to explain how Rava, who heard that his Rabbi, Rav Yosef, was upset, so went to ask for a mechila. So Shama Rava heard that he was upset, so on Erev Yom Kippur, which is the proper time for a person to go and ask mechila if he hasn't answered it previously, so Mustama Rava wasn't right around Rav Yosef at that point in time, or he would have gone right then and there. So he comes, Erev Yom Kippur, he says, I gotta take care of business before Yom Kippur. But also, Kamei B'mali Yom Adikur. So he goes to Rav Yosef to ask mechila on Erev Yom Kippur. So what does he do? Ashechil Shabbe, he finds Rav Yosef's Shamish to have a komozik kamei, that it was going and diluting for him a cup, kasu dechama, of wine. They used to have wine that was extremely concentrated, we mentioned this many times, and they would dilute it in a certain way. And this is one of the sources for the classical dilution that Rava used to do. So in any event, Rava says to the Shamash, Amalei says to the Shamash, let me do the dilution for Rav Yosef. Havli, let me, the emzik le ano. Give me the cup, and I go dilute it for the Rebbe. So Yoavle, so the Shamish said, sure, no problem. The komozik iu, kasa de chama. And therefore, Rava went and diluted it. Now, he diluted it in a certain way, a 3-to-1 ratio. He added 3 parts water for every 1 part wine. And when he gave it to Rav Yosef to drink, now Rav Yosef was blind, as we mentioned many times. Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes are two famous Amoraim that were blind. So Rav Yosef couldn't see that it was Rava that was actually serving him. So Kikoshase, after he drank this diluted wine, Amar, he said, wow, this is perfectly diluted. Hadain, Mizgah, this dilution over here, Dome, it's comparable, Le Mizgah, the Rava Breder of Yosef, Bar Chava. This tastes exactly like the way that Rava, who was the son of Rav Yosef, Bar Chama, would go and dilute the wine for me. And Amalei, at that point in time, Rava speaks up and says, Hu Nihu. That's me. I'm here. It is Rava. I came to basically ask Mechila from you for the question that I had sent you that got you upset. So Rav Yosef, according to the Ran here, Rav Yosef wants to go and show him in the bottom Ran, Ma'idach Siv, he says, Niskavin Rav Yosef, Lahazir Rava, Sheshofel Ruach Biyosef. The way that he asked the question, he should have been a little bit more humble in the way he asked the question, not asked just such a general question, he should have asked a very specific question with a little bit more humbleness. So that's what Rav Yosef wanted to teach Rava. So Amalei, Rav Yosef says to Rava, Lo Tesev Akarach, don't sit down. Adi, honestly, until you tell me, Perusha Dohadein Milsa, until you explain to me the following series of Psukim. Ma'idach Siv, what does the Pasuk mean when it tells us the Klai Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, and it says they went from Umi Minbar Matana, they went from the place Midbar to the place Matana, and then Umi Matana, they went from the place Matana to the place Nachliel, and they went from the place Umi Nachliel, Bamos, to the place Bamos. So darshan this for me. So I'm going so Rabbi darshan to the Reosi for the following manner. Kivan Shosa Odom Esasmo Kimidbar, when a person makes himself like a Midbar, Midbar is Hefker, as the Rosh says over here in the last Rosh, Lilmo Torah so lekol, that he goes and teaches his Torah to everybody, and the Tosa says the same idea, Shia Melame Torah lekol, that you go and teach Torah to everybody, Shehu Mufkar lekol, so you're open to everyone to teach everyone Torah, so then you'll be zocha Torah nitinlo b'matana. You'll be zocha to have the Torah as a permanent present to you. When you go and teach Torah, that helps you remember it much better. Something that I teach, so I know much better than something that I just, quote, learned for myself. So therefore, Torah nitinlo b'matana. You'll be zocha to have the Torah as a matana when you teach it to other people. And this is based upon this drush of the pasuk, shenema umi midbar matana. When you go from being the midbar to teaching Torah to everybody, you'll get it as a matana. Nu, v'kivan shenitinlo b'matana. Once you get it as a matana, so Nahalo Kale. So you'll be Zocha to have it as a permanent inheritance in your family. Shinema Umimatana Nachli El. So that's the drush of the words going from once it's a matana, it'll become a permanent asset of yours, Nachli El. Then the kivat Shanachalo Kale, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it to you as an inheritance, so then you're gonna become very chashiv and important. Ole l'dula, you're going to rise in importance over here. Shenema u'minach l'yel bamos. Then you go up to bamos. Bamos are high places. So therefore, the im hig biatzma. But if you remain in a status of being arrogant, of being elevated, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilu, then God will put you down. Shenema u'mibamos hagai. A guy is a valley. So you go from the heights, you go all the way down to the valley. And furthermore, flow out. Ela sheshokin oso bekarka. You will be sunk into the ground. And this is based upon the pasuk shenema v'nishkofa apneya yeshimo, which if you look in Tosos says that the girsa over here should be she shokfin. That means loshon iskupa hanidresis. It's like the doorway entrance. The askupa is the entrance into the door. That area on the floor is called an iskupa, and you step on it. So therefore, you will become lowered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela sheshokin oso bekarka is the girsa that we have, and it means sheshokfin. That's the girsa that Tosa says. You'll be pushed down like the doorway entrance. You'll be something that everybody steps on. And then, if the person realizes he shouldn't have been haughty, and he wants to do tshuva of him chosubo, so he realizes he was incorrect in being haughty, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makbiyo. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lift him up again, as we turn to Nun Hei Omid Beis, where we quote the pasuk. Now, this is a pasuk from Yeshaya, but nevertheless, Shenemar kol gei yinose. Every low lying valley will ultimately be raised up, as the Ran tells us in the top Ran, Afagav the locust of Gabe Haikra. It's not from the Psukim in Bamidbar with the Masos of the Bnei Yisrael, Because Uminachliel Bibamos dead the hot you betorah, that's a pasuk in Chumash in Bamidbar in the Masos in Maasai, so Bahai Binavim, and now we're bringing a pasuk from Yeshaya, nevertheless, Abil Hochi, given the cost of a Kosh Baruch Hu, Mashbilo Kigai, my Siraya, Shamashbilatsmo, Sofal Alos. That if you humble yourself, then you will eventually rise up based upon this pasuk in Yecheskel. Now, that's the conclusion of the story between Rav and Rav Yosef. How do we paskin? We never got to that answer. So the Ran tells us, in Inyan Halacha, continuing in this Ran, so he says, Bayan de Rav lo ishpitan. We never answered what is included in the Alalto. When Rav asked, does this include the schar for the batim and the sinos, is it included or not? So therefore, since we don't come to answer it, since this is a bayit lo shitan, hilkach lo gavei mischar batim mischar sinos, he can't go and collect from the rentals. Rav wasn't able to go collect from the rentals of the houses or the boats, because the yad bal hashtar ala tachtona, because when you're going to collect from somebody else, hamotzi mechaber ol v'raya, and unless you can prove that that was included, so the default position is, it's not included. And the other yarshin of Mar Shmuel's son, they would be able to push off Rav and say, no, you can't collect from this. However, in regards to Nedarim, of Olegabi Nedarim, Naktino Luchumra, then when we have a Sufik by Nedarim, Sufik Doraita, we go Luchumra, and therefore they would be included the Cholon, the Chlal. If a person asks himself from Alalta, he says, Nedar, I won't eat Alalta, so he wouldn't be able to have the Schar of the Batim and the Schar of the Sinos. That's how the Ran Paskins. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't necessarily agree with this Ran. I in Shulchan Aruch for the final Psak Aloch. Okay, the Gemara continues and says, Tanya, Hanodim in a Dogon. If a person makes a neder not to have Dogon, Osir af bepul mitzri yovish. So, according to this Brisa, he wouldn't be allowed to have even the pul mitzri yovish because it is piled up. And like we pass it, like Rav Meir, when you pile things up, it's included in Dogon. So, the dried up, the yovish, pul mitzri, is piled up and it's included in Dogon and would be Osir according to this Brisa, umutu belach. But the moist pul mitzri, that's not piled up and therefore, you would be allowed to have that if the nether was only against Dogon. And likewise, umutra ba'orez, you'd be allowed to have, we normally translate orez as rice, a famous machlokas Rashi tells us throughout Shas, you have orez and dochen, which are normally translated as rice and millet, so there's a machlokas Rashi tells us which one is rice, which one is millet. We'll continue to translate orez as I usually do as rice, and dochen is millet. And you're permitted in that because it's not something that's piled up. And also, bechilka, betargis, ubetisne, and all the mefarshim on the daf over here say these are types of wheat that is split into chilka, it's the two parts, the targis is try. Targis, the lotion of try. Targis is three parts and tisne is into four parts. All of these things, they're not piled up. They're just chopped up into two or three or four parts and therefore they are permitted. The Mur continues and tells us, "Ano dimin peros hashan, if a person asks himself for having the fruits of that year." So what does that mean? Also, b'chol peros hashan, he's also in any fruits that grow in that year. However, he is permitted, umutra b'gidoyim, he's permitted in goats. Now, one might have thought that the baby goats are considered also fruits of the year, so this comes to teach us, no, same thing with the baby sheets, ubitzloyim. Likewise, ubicholov, the milk that comes from them, these aren't considered the fruits, we're referring, when we say a person says, asa b'chol peres hashana, he's referring to fruits that grow from trees. Likewise, he hasn't asked himself from ubebeitzim, ubegozolos, not with the eggs or with little chicks, these aren't called peros of the shana. However, imamar gidule shana life, he says anything that grows in this year, so then all of these things would be included as growths of that year. So he would be also in the little baby goats, the little baby sheep, the milk, the eggs, and the little chicks, also bechulon. He would be also in all of them. Similarly, the Brisa continues and says, hanodya min peros aretz. The Brisa says if a person asks himself of having the peros of the aretz, also bechol peros aretz, he's also to have any fruits that grow that year. Umutar bechmeyin upitros, but he is not including in the peros of the ground what are called chmeyin and pitrios, which are translated usually as truffles and mushrooms. These don't grow directly from the ground. They grow on rocks, they grow on wood, and they're not considered peros aretz. But if he says, in Omar, gidule karkalai, I ask myself to have anything that grows from the karka, so then they are included in gidule karka, also bekulin. Then even the kamein and pitrios would be also. Now this leads to a question, because the bracha on kamein and pitrios is not bori priyadama. Now if it's gidule karka, shouldn't we be making bori priyadama on them? And that's what we question right now. Urmini, we learn, however, in the following brisa, it says, al dover she'en gidulim in aretz, something that doesn't grow from the ground, so then the bracha is Shakol, Omer Shakol Nyebid Varo. Now, Bitanya, we learned in another brisa, it says, Al HaMelach V'Al HaZomis. Melach is salt. Zomis is a foreign language term that's translated as Mei Melach, salt water, Salmura, Pirish Zumis as Mei Melach, and this is the Tzir of Melach, this is like the liquid that comes from the salt water, and that is also Alkemein on Pitrios, these truffles and these mushrooms, you make a shakol ne'abidvaru, o meshakol ne'abidvaru. So in other words, how can you tell me that the Kamein and Pitrios are considered Gidule Karka? We're making a shakol on them. So it says, Al Dover She'en Gidule Min Aretz, you make a shakol, and they're included in Dover She'en Gidule Min Aretz. So that's the question that we ask, and Abaye answers it and says, no, I'm Abaye Mirba Ravu Miyare. Yes, they grow from the ground, and therefore they would be included in the neder of Gidule Karka, Lai Osu Bekulin, including the Kamein and Pitrios. But in terms of the bracha that we say shakon yebid varo for these is because meinak me avira yonki. They get their sustenance from the air, so to say, below miyara, and not directly from the ground. As we mentioned, they can grow on rocks, they can grow on wood, and therefore they're not getting their actual sustenance. They are not zon from the ground, and therefore we make a shakon on them. More questions, it says, wait a second, read the first part of this price. It said, Voktani, al dover she'en gidulo min ha'aretz. So how can you tell me that they are Gidule Karko, and the Brisa says that they're not called Gidule Aretz. So Gemara says, you're right. Read the Brisa as follows. Tani al dover she'ein yonek min aretz. It shouldn't be things that don't grow from the ground. They don't get their sustenance. They don't get their yenika from the ground. And therefore, that's why we make a shakal on them. But they are included in Gidule Karko. And therefore, you make a nether on Gidule Karko lie, it would be also in the Kamein and the Pitrios as well. Now we're going to the next mission. The mission tells us, Hanoder min haksus. If a person asses himself from ksus, ksus is usually translated as clothing. So the person says, I ask myself to wear clothing, so then mutter, he is allowed to put on besak. A sack is some sort of, like we call it, sackcloth. It's like a burlap, a heavier canvas type of material that he's allowed to wear. Ubi yuria, ubi chamila. These are various types of sheets. Mefarish over here says, Chamila is ke'en yuriah. It's like a sheet, like a yuriah, and these things are not included in the normal wearing of clothing, and therefore the iser of the neder of Hanodim and Aksus would not include things that are in clothing, and therefore the sock, the yuriah, and the Chamila are all not considered begodim, and therefore he would be permitted to wear them. If a person were to say, Amar konem tsemer ole alive, the person says, I ask myself to have any wool, and he means garments come upon him. So if he asks himself to wear wool garments, nevertheless, mutu lehiskasos begize tzemer. He's allowed to wear the shearings of the wool, the gize tzemer, because these aren't considered a wool garment. They're considered gize tzemer, and you don't wear them. That's how the Mefarshim on the Daf explained. Since you're not wearing them, it is considered something that you are not including in the nether when you say tzemer ole alive. If a person says, ha pishtan ola olai, I ask myself to wear pishtan, so then he's mutal is kasos b'anitze pishtan. Likewise, similar to what we just said about the shearings of the wool, so the anitze pishtan, or the stalks of the flax, he's allowed to cover himself up with that because it's not called wearing it. When he says either konem tzemer ola olai or konem pishtan ola olai, he's only talking about wearing it, but not just covering himself up with it, and therefore the anitze pishtan, just like the Gizei Tzemer, are permitted. Rav Yehuda Omer, Hakol if you know that. Rav Yehuda says, you always go by what the person's intent was. As the Ran tells us, we go after Lashon B'nei Adam. We follow what is the normal vernacular usage of these words. So, for example, Rav Yehuda says, Ta'an, if a person is carrying a load of these types of materials, so, for example, he's carrying either wool or flax, and the Mefarish actually has this as the Girsa, Ton tzemer u'pishton v'hizia. So this is a load, machmas hamasui, and v'hizia, and he's schwitzing, and it gives it a foul odor, v'yarecho kosher. So it gives it a very foul odor, and he's disgusted by this odor, and he says, Omar, konen tzemer u'pishtim ola lai, and he says, I ask myself to have the tzemer and pishtim come upon me. So this is different than what we said before. Here, mutar l'skatzos, he's allowed to go and wear these Tzemer upishtim clothing, because that's not what he meant. It's only also lahav shalachorv. He meant because they were so schwitzed up and foul smelling, and he was carrying them as a masa, so he asks himself to go and carry them as a masa because they're so foul smelling. But he didn't come to include in this that he wouldn't wear any garments that were made of tzemer upishtim. So Rav Yehuda qualifies this understanding again, Hochem achal losh ben yodim. We go after by what a person normally means when he makes a ned. Morris continues and says, Tanya, we learn in the following brisa, if a person is an odim in aksus, if a person asks himself from wearing certain types of clothing, so as we had said in our Mishnah, mutu b'sak, b'yiriyah, b'chamila, these aren't considered normal clothing, so he could wear the sackcloth, he could wear these various types of sheets or non-clothing items to cover himself up. However, included in this issur of clothing are the following, b'asur b'punda u'b'piskiyah, punda and piskiyah, the Mefarshim on the daf tell us, or an punda is an ezer cholul, the Mefari says, shechogrim bo, some sort of a hollow belt that you would wrap around yourself, and they would often put things inside of this, like money or their wallet and things like that. Ubepiskia, that is something that's a foreign language word, faishulia, which in the Lazi Rashi tells us is also a ezer rochav, a wider type of a belt. These things are considered clothing, and therefore, if he asks himself from wearing a ksus, these two are included, these types of belts are included. Likewise, uviskurtia, ubekatavlia, these are various types of leather garments. The Mefarish tells us that this is a malbushel or kosher, shaloves alhar skurtia. That's the katavlia. And the skurtia is going to be defined as kalim that are made of or. As the Ran tells us, kulam mine malbushim shel or. And these things are included in garments, and therefore, if he asks himself to wearing gaksus, so these are excluded as well, these various types of leather garments. Likewise, vianpilya, the Mefarish says, is a foreign language word called husas, which the Lazi Rashi tell us is minolim kitanim shechof misroverego, is some sort of a shoe that covers up most of the foot, so it's some sort of a leather shoe. And he's also in something known as upilinya. What is plinya? So this is a sinar. Mefari says this is something called a sinar, and a sinar is something worn for tznius purpose underneath your body, some sort of like underwear or similar type of a garment. And this is also included in the iser of hanodim and aksus, isn't allowed to wear this. And finally, umechnasayim, and pants, uvekova, and a hat. All of these are included in clothing. Now, what exactly is my iskurtia? What is this type of a garment? So I'm a Rabba Bar Barchan, as we said before, Kituna Ditzala, which the Mefari says is a Malbush Shel Or. Now, where it continues and brings down the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Tanya, Yotzin Bisak Ove Ubisogus. A person is allowed to go out with a thick type of sackcloth. And this Sogum Ove, the Mefari says, is Min Saku also. It's also a type of sackcloth, which is even thicker than a Uriah. The Ran points out over here that you're allowed to go out with this on Shabbos. The Lo Amrinu Masiyu. This is considered clothing, and it is not considered something that is a burden. And this is Velo Sak Mamish El Ka'ein Sak. He says this is not the same thing that we mentioned in the Mishnah, where we said a sock is not considered a type of clothing. This is considered some sort of a clothing. It's a thicker type of a garment. And the Tosefta brings down Tony Besefa Harom Yotzim Besakim, that the shepherds, they would go out with this type of a garment, either to protect themselves from the elements, from the rain, or from the cold, or this would be the type of clothing that they would wear. In any event, the Braisa continues that you're allowed to go and wear these on Shabbos, they're not considered a masui, they're not considered carrying if you're in the Rishus Rabim. Likewise, it'll be Uriya over Chamila. They can wear these various types of sheets as well to protect themselves, but there'll be like a raincoat of some sort, and that's considered a garment, and it's not considered carrying. However, avalobe teva, they're not allowed to carry out with them a teva or a kupa, avalobe kupa, avalobe machatzelas. These are various types of small little baskets or small little mats. So they're using them to cover themselves up, but that is considered carrying. So you wouldn't be allowed to wear that, mipnei hagashama, because you're not really wearing it, you're carrying it. And furthermore, the Braisa says, harom yotzim b'sakim. Shepherds would go out on Shabbos wearing sakim, as we just pointed out before, but it's not only the shepherds. Elo kol adam, lo roam bilvad amru, elo kol adam. Anybody's allowed to go out and wear these on Shabbos. It's not considered a masu, you're not carrying it. It's considered a normal garment. No, then why did they mention specifically the roam? Elo shedibru chachomim behove. They were the common people that would go and wear such garments, so that's why it mentions that the roam can do this. We find this all the time. Because I will say that these people can wear this, but they didn't only mean those people. They meant everybody's allowed to wear it, but who were the people that commonly wore it? So they were the people that are mentioned in the Brisa or Brisa, so too over here. The Roim were the ones that commonly wore this, but it would be mutter for everybody because it's not considered a masoi, it's considered clothing, and it's considered wearing it, and there's no problem of carrying it if you wear it on Shabbos. Finally, we conclude today's share by quoting the Mishnah. Rehuda Omer Hakol, if you don't know the Rechule, Rehuda is telling us the importance of what does the vernacular usage of the word mean, and we give examples of this. Tanya, we learn the Braisa. Ketzad Omer Rehuda Hakol, if you don't know. Exactly what did Rehuda mean when he says you go after what the person's intent was, what the vernacular usage is? So, Haya Lovush Tzemer, if a person is wearing Tzemer, the Heitzar, and it's bothering him, it's uncomfortable for him, maybe he's schwitzed up and it's foul smelling, whatever the situation may be. And he says, Omar, Konim Tzemer, Ola Olai. And in that scenario, he says, I ask myself to go and wear Tzemer. In that situation, also Lubo, she wouldn't be allowed to wear Tzemer, Umuto Lito, but he would be allowed to go and carry it. Because here, the tsar that he got was from wearing it. So when he was upset, and he said, I ask myself to wear it, so it's wearing it that's the problem, but he would be allowed to carry it. Obviously not on Shabbos, but he would be permitted to go carry it on another day of the week. Now, if he, however, it said, after he was hoyoton pishton, he was carrying the pishton vizier, and he got schwitzed up, and it was foul-smelling, and he said, this is really bothersome. And he said, v'amar konim pishton ola olai. In that scenario, if he said, I ask a pishton to come upon me, in that scenario, he's obviously talking about carrying the pishton and not wearing it. So mutar lo bo, she would be permitted to go wear pishton in that scenario, because that's not what he was referring to. V'asalitom, but he asks himself to go and carry it. So again, we see over here, hochen achar loshon b'nei odam. And as the Mefari says, that we only assume in the nether, elikafi shatsalo, that which was bothering him, and therefore, if it was the clothing wearing that was bothering him, then that becomes usur, but not to carry it. And if it was the carrying that was bothering him, then that was usur, but not the wearing of it. With this, we conclude today's share.